Welcome back to the deep dive. Today we're tackling a stack of source material that looks, at first glance, pretty chaotic.
It really does.
We have reports on AI rollouts from OpenAI, new strategic visa policies in the Middle East, hardware leaks from Nintendo, and a massive loss leader move by Epic Games.
Right, they seem totally disconnected.
Exactly. Technology, geopolitics, commerce. But when you actually analyze the strategic decisions behind them, a unifying mega trend
And
emerges.
that's the core of it.
We are watching the wholesale abandonment of the 20th century's one-size-fits-all philosophy. We are officially entering what we're calling the era of hyper-personalization.
And that's our mission today. We aren't just here to list off some feature updates.
No.
We need to synthesize what this radical shift means for you, the individual learner and creator. This isn't just about marketing.
Not at all.
We're seeing global powers, whether they're trillion-dollar corporations or entire nation-states, targeting your personal history, your specific skill set, and even, your aesthetic identity.
With surgical precision. Okay, let's unpack this with the source that I think hits closest to home, OpenAI. They just rolled out Your Year with ChatGPT. Now, if you've ever loved Spotify's Wrapped campaign, this is the same idea.
But for your mind.
Yes, but applied to your cognitive landscape, your questions, your late-night anxieties, your professional ambitions.
The jump here is the shift from just providing utility to providing understanding. The AI analyzes thousands of your prompts,
Thousands.
and it constructs what is essentially a dynamic psychological profile. Instead of just giving you data points, it structures your year by identifying key eras of your life.
What does that mean, eras?
Well, for instance, if you spent 3 months troubleshooting deployment scripts, you were in your coding era.
Yeah.
Or if your queries were all about maximizing returns and market volatility, you were living in your crypto era.
Or maybe a self-improvement era, constantly asking for book recommendations or diet plans.
Exactly. Or summaries of Stoic philosophy. It sees the patterns.
And the detail that brings this whole strategic shift into focus, the one that really pushes it past a mere search tool and into, the territory of a digital companion.
Almost like something from the movie Her.
It really is. It's the custom poem feature. It generates these detailed verses where you are the explicit protagonist, reflecting the specific problems and triumphs the AI observed you navigate over the year.
That kind of intimacy is worth billions because it fundamentally reframes the value proposition.
It's a little unsettling, though.
It's very unsettling to think an algorithm knows your deepest technical struggles or personal curiosities better than your colleagues or friends do. But that intimacy is precisely the value they are driving home.
So I have to ask, if the AI is providing this deeply personalized, almost therapeutic feedback, and it's most accurate when the memory setting is on, doesn't that create a massive psychological dependency?
It absolutely does, and that's the strategic brilliance of it. By demonstrating how deeply it understands your history and your context, it creates a powerful emotional bond.
And critically, data lock-in.
Exactly. It becomes so much harder for you to switch to competitors like Google Gemini or Anthropic's Claude because they would start from a blank slate.
You lose that personalized history.
You lose everything.
Yeah.
OpenAI is moving from being a necessary service to being an indispensable personal archive.
That pursuit of personalized identity, it goes beyond psychological profiles. It's now defining creative output,
Right.
which leads us to AI music generators like Suno. Until recently, AI music had this massive operational flaw, what we call the inconsistency bug.
Oh, it was a huge problem. You could generate a stunning vocal performance, but if you wanted that same voice, that same personality for the next track,
Forget about it. It was random every time.
that randomness, which was a fundamental barrier to any professional use, is now history. Suno's introduction of personas is truly transformative.
So what does that actually do?
It allows a user to lock in a specific vocal timbre, a style, a tone. You can define a character, let's say Majid, the gravelly rock singer, and then generate 10 tracks, knowing that Majid's voice will be identical.
Consistent across the entire project.
Perfect consistency.
So what are the biggest real-world implications of that?
Oh, there are three massive ones. First, for content creators, this is the creation of a custom virtual band.
For their sonic branding.
Yes. Consistent music across intros, background scores, ads, without hiring a session musician for every little piece.
And the second.
It accelerates the rise of the virtual celebrity. Think a fully generative, customizable version of Hatsune Miku, but with consistent vocal depth and style.
Wow. Okay, and the third.
For songwriters, they can now produce professional portfolio demos that maintain the same singer throughout.
Which is essential for pitching songs to labels?
It's a game changer for them.
This need to maintain a consistent aesthetic is also driving shifts in social platforms. Telegram, for example. Despite its massive user base, it has always been, well, uniform.
Totally. If you ran a channel with millions of followers, it still looked functionally identical to a tiny local group chat.
No branding whatsoever.
But that changes entirely with the new visual customization options for channel admins.
But there's a catch, right?
There is. This feature is gated. It requires a high boost level, which means you have to have a significant number of premium subscribers fueling the channel.
So it's a personalized reward system based on community loyalty.
That's a perfect way to put it. Oh. Once you hit that threshold, you can dramatically overhaul the channel's look.
What are we talking about here?
We're talking custom wallpapers specific to the channel, unique emoji statuses, and personalized patterns for the actual post of backgrounds.
So a major brand, like the gaming outlet Taken Game, could apply its signature neon purple color palette directly to the interface.
Precisely. They're essentially turning a simple messaging app into a fully branded, personalized social media destination.
This shows us that the battle for personalized loyalty isn't just internal to a company, it's shaping global strategy.
Yep.
Let's shift our perspective entirely and look at Dubai's brain drain strategy, a geopolitical personalization of immigration.
This is a huge one. While many established Western nations are imposing stricter immigration hurdles, the UAE is aggressively customizing its visa, offering to poach the world's most valuable asset.
Human talent.
Mobile. Highly skilled human talent. The history here is really important. Working in the Gulf historically required a local sponsor, a kafil.
Which limited professional freedom?
Massively.
Yeah.
The 2025 reforms represent a systematic dismantling of this barrier for key professional groups. They are basically rolling out the welcome mat based solely on your economic potential.
And they've created two specific streams.
Two highly personalized immigration streams. First, there's the green visa. It's a 5-year residency with self-sponsorship for high-earning skilled professionals and freelancers.
That's huge for digital nomads.
It's a game changer for the entire gig economy, tax-free residency, and family inclusion.
And the second one is even more targeted. It's a laser-focused personalization aimed directly at the next industrial revolution.
Yeah. Exactly. The golden visa. This is a prestigious 10-year residency track that explicitly targets experts in artificial intelligence, blockchain, and data science.
Yeah, the criteria.
Purely based on your professional CV and your perceived ability to contribute to their future data economy.
The motivation is crystal clear, their whole post-oil strategy.
They're doubling down. The belief is that data is the new oil.
Right. And to hit their ambitious goal of doubling GDP by 2031, they have to aggressively import the silicon, the human capital, from competitor tech hubs.
From the West and Asia.
Yeah.
And that aggressive, personalized poaching creates immediate retention crises for cities like San Francisco, Berlin, or London.
They're losing their most mobile, highly skilled workers.
To a tax-free, professionally liberated environment. The state is now acting as a personal headhunter, tailoring the welcome based purely on your CV's potential yield.
That same kind of high-stakes, aggressive strategy is playing out in the corporate world, too. With Epic Games' recent Cyberpunk gamble, they generated a massive traffic surge by giving away a mystery gift box wrapped in that signature neon yellow, which turned out to be the blockbuster title Cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah, giving away a game that still costs a lot seems counterintuitive, but the source material analyzes the deep loss leader economics at play.
So Epic pays CD Projekt Red a massive lump sum.
Right, but the logic isn't just about generosity. It's about forcing user acquisition.
Wow. They're buying users.
Millions of them. Yeah. People loyal to competitors like Steam downloaded the Epic Launcher just to claim that one free game. The masterstroke, though, is the DLC trap. But giving the base game to, say, 10 million users, they instantly create 10 million potential buyers for the critically acclaimed $30 expansion, Phantom Liberty.
Which is not free.
Which is not free. It's a pure monetization play.
So you turn a sunk cost into a highly personalized pathway for high-margin follow-up sales. But what's the long-term risk for Epic here?
The risk is high. If they keep relying on these massive giveaways, they train their users to wait for freebies.
Devaluing their own library.
Exactly. But the short-term calculation is that the user data and market share, just getting the customer to use their personalized storefront, outweighs the cost of the giveaway.
It's a masterclass in modern software monetization.
For sure. built on giving users a high-value, personalized entry point and then banking on that follow-up purchase.
Let's pivot to physical hardware, which often feels like the last frontier of personalization.
It's the hardest to change.
Nintendo, typically the most secretive company in the world, the Willy Wonka of gaming, can't hide everything from the global component supply chain.
The supply chain always talks.
And sources from manufacturers in China are confirming that mass production of the Nintendo Switch 2 has officially begun.
And what's most exciting for the dedicated fan base is the rumor of a truly personalized hardware feature. The return of the dual screen design.
An homage to the DS and 3DS.
An homage to the highly successful DS and 3DS platforms. And this is a huge strategic choice. It immediately differentiates the console from powerful but single screen competitors like the Steam Deck.
It offers a personalized gameplay experience.
By allowing for a split UI, imagine managing your complex inventory or your maps or skill trees exclusively on the bottom touchscreen, freeing up the top 4K screen entirely for uninterrupted gameplay.
It tailors the physical interface to the specific needs of the player in that moment.
Exactly.
And their personalization strategy extends beyond the console interface. It goes to the actual purchasing experience.
You're talking about the war on scalpers.
The war on scalpers. It's a strategic choice to personalize access back to the customer.
Precisely. For the launch, which looks like autumn 2026, Nintendo is reportedly ordering a staggering amount of initial stock.
Millions more than previous launches.
To intentionally flood the market on day one. The goal is a strategic cost. They sacrifice that initial high-margin scarcity rush to win long-term customer goodwill.
And loyalty.
And loyalty. They want the consumer who actually wants to play the game to buy the console at retail price, completely bypassing the exploitative secondary market.
So if we pull back now, the unifying thread across every single case file is, well, it's indisputable. The era of hyper-personalization is dominating every major sector.
Absolutely. The foundational constraints that once forced uniformity are being demolished. OpenAI wants to archive your personal anxieties to ensure loyalty.
Suno wants to create your personal, consistent voice for commercial use.
The UAE wants to award you a visa based on your personal, specialized skill set.
And Nintendo wants to deliver a physical experience tailored exactly to how you interact with the game.
It's all moving in one direction.
The technology of 2026 is truly about one size fits you. The tools are here, the creative constraints are removed, and even geopolitical barriers are being adjusted specifically for individual talent.
This empowers you, the learner, and the creator immensely.
So here is the final provocative thought we leave you with. In a world where every tool is customized to your history, skills, and desires, what kind of personalized identity or creation will you build with them, and what will the cost of that hyper-intimacy be?